He's still got school of journalism, so.
I'm gonna tell the Nap Ranger he's like Tom Cruise because he's got all the right moves, man. All the right
Welcome
moves.
To the Empty Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast. It's week 12. We're at halftime of the Sunday night game. And if this keeps up, Aaron Rodgers is a doo-doo head again. Oh my goodness. But we're here to break down all of week 12. Give you those bosses and those bums to get you through to week 13. When you don't have to worry about byes anymore, because this is the last week of byes. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank goodness.
How you boys doing? How you doing, Josh?
Been better, Brad. Been a lot better.
Eric, how are the places you go going?
The Places You Go is a fantastic book. I love it. I also watched Inside Out today with my kid. I forgot how heart-wrenching that movie is. So, yeah.
And Phyllis from The Office is sadness. Just saying.
Oh, that's very fitting. Good movie, though. Great movie. No, I'm having a good day. The Cowboys are frauds, as usual. We'll talk about it later, though.
You actually missed a perfect segue to that because Phyllis was a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
That's right. She was. I forgot about that.
You blew it.
Also, there was a monsoon that they called in Foxborough.
Whatever. You have the fourth best running back in the league? Pound the rock.
Fourth best?
Okay, third best.
All right, Eric. We, me and you, Eric, before the show, we kind of got in a little texting match about a player. I want to talk about this before we get into bosses and bums because he's not going to show up in the boss segment because I pretty much treat him like Christian McCaffrey now.
Because he's too good.
So you brought up, just go ahead and give your piece. What we were talking about.
So I texted Brad, anything we want to add to the show, and I was like, Michael Thomas, MVP ? Because I hate that the quarterbacks win them every year. And Brad brought up a good point that. The last one to win it that wasn't a quarterback was AP in 2012. And before that, you got to go back, I think, what, another 6 years? 06, said, I think.
And only four this century. So.
Right.
There has been a kicker that won MVP. Oh, yeah, found that out.
That's true. It's a fact.
I love it. And it should happen more often. Because, yeah, QBs get all the credit. But Michael Thomas has carried his team when his starting quarterback was hurt. Alvin Kamara was hurt. They had nobody on offense. I mean, Latavius Murray did a nice job in lieu of Alvin Kamara being hurt, but Thomas made that team go, and they're gonna win the division. They're gonna go to the playoffs, and the Panthers ain't sniffing the playoffs right now. As is, Christian McCaffrey's having an amazing season, but he shouldn't win either. I think you should have to. I know it's a regular season award, but if you don't make the playoffs, I don't think you should be in contention for it. And I'm sick of seeing quarterbacks win it.
As good as Michael Thomas is, he's probably not going to win the real MVP. But fantasy-wise MVP, he's got a good shot at that. Because he was drafted 14th overall. So first pick of the second round. I don't know what.
14th overall.
That don't make no sense.
And he's showing.
He was the first pick in the second round. All right, he was the fourth wide receiver taken behind DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, and then it was him. First pick of the second round, if you look at 12-team leagues. And right now, if you go and you look up scoring, he is the second non-quarterback in scoring in PPR leagues. Because it's
behind Christian McCaffrey.
Yes, because Dalvin Cook was above him by, I think, well, let's see here. I got right here 20 points. And Dalvin Cook was on a bye this week, and Michael Thomas scored over 20. So Michael Thomas has jumped him.
Right, yeah. If you include, the week 12 scoring. And, I mean, he's got 100 receptions through, 12 weeks. He's on pace to break the all-time receptions record set by Marvin Harrison back in the day. I mean, he's got over 1,200 yards already. He's got 6 touchdowns. He's probably going to get double-digit touchdowns. he could break, what, 1,600 yards? So, yeah. I mean, he's an MVP in my heart.
And I think the big question we had before was when Drew Brees went down, we were really worried about him. I think this year has kind of proved that if you own him in Dynasty and stuff, you don't have to worry so much about the Drew Brees leaving because he's still going to get his share.
Nope.
Josh, anything you want to add?
Yeah,
Josh, go.
Mm-hmm. No. I completely agree with that. I think you do have to look at the fantasy MVPs when you see what they're actually bringing to the table. And I would say Michael Thomas is more of an MVP than Christian McCaffrey based on draft position. But you could look at it too, like Lamar Jackson would be a fantasy MVP in the sense of where he went. I mean, he went in much later rounds and no one expected him to be as good as he is. So I think there's a lot of discussion there. And that's for like a Tuesday episode.
Not this Tuesday because it's going to be packed full of Thursday Thanksgiving games. Whew. All right. Let's get into the bosses. Let me play the drop. Upon the Russian, crash into the sun. Now I'm dead. Like a boss. All right, like a boss. We're going to start with quarterbacks. This week, we're not just going to go around the table because that takes just more time than really we need to. I have bosses. I have Ryan Tannehill and Sam Darnold. And I will admit right now, I thought Sam Darnold was going to have a bad game. The Raiders, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah, they're not good. They're still coached by John Gruden, so.
Josh, go ahead. Do you think you want to add here, these guys?
Yeah, that was a real surprise, Bob. Real surprise. Tannehill and Darnold being the fantasy quarterback ones on the day. Huge surprise. No one saw that coming. Yeah, so this just shows you that 2019 is an awful fantasy season.
Yeah, Tannehill helped out with a couple rushing touchdowns, awful. If you were playing Derrick Henry, you saved your day against him because, oh, my Jesus. But quarterback bums, I think, is the big surprising. I have five guys down here, and we might be adding to that if this Sunday night game keeps going the way it's going. We got Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, and Carson Wentz. You know what they all have in common? In four-point-per-touchdown leagues, they all scored under 10 points.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Disgusting.
Where do you guys want to start? You want to start with Russell Wilson?
That was a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, is Philly's really defense actually that good, or did he just have a really, really bad game for him?
I think what it is with Russell Wilson, in games where he doesn't have to throw the ball a lot, they're not going to force him to throw the ball more than he has to. He already doesn't throw it a lot as it is. So if he's not in those shootout games, his numbers are going to go down. Whenever they're up and their defense was playing as well as it was and Philly could not do literally anything. I will admit, I think their average starting field position was like their own 45-yard line, so.
Yeah, I watched most of that game. They just kept giving it right back all day. But he didn't capitalize really on any of the turnovers, so.
And then Carson Wentz's day, playing on the other side, he turned the ball over like six times, I think. It was bad. He saved it with a last-minute Zach Ertz touchdown, which gave him at least some points. Because if not, we're looking at a good four-point game from good old Carson Wentz.
So, yeah, yeah.
So, Josh, talk to me about Dak Prescott.
Well,
I want you to talk to me about Dak Prescott, Josh. We're not going to talk about Carson Wentz. We're going to talk about Dak Prescott because you were high on Dak Prescott this week. You thought he could do something.
No. I thought he'd be – I didn't think he'd be as bad as he was, but there was a monsoon happening up in New England. It was 37 degrees and raining. I don't know about you guys, but I hate being cold and wet. And unfortunately, that happened. Dak only threw for 212 yards, man. It was a real, real bummer.
He wants 40 million.
What, 40
well, he
degrees?
He wants $40 million. You get a throw in 37-degree weather.
No, he beats all the teams that he's supposed to.
Okay, the thing that got me –
he beats all the
team. The thing that gets me about Dak is that before the game, they knew the weather was going to be bad. He said, well, I tried to wear gloves, but I just didn't like the way they felt. Then he puts them on after he just literally couldn't throw the ball anywhere near anybody. And Randall Cobb saved him by catching his own fumble in midair, which was probably one of the best catches of the day.
Well, the 59-yarder. Yeah, Dak was inaccurate. This Patriots defense just had their number, and they played like they were supposed to. I had Dak and Deshaun Watson in the league, and I chose Deshaun Watson, thankfully, because Dak, I don't think he had, 7 points, something like that? It was horrible.
And then Matt Ryan, really big letdown game against Tampa Bay. They pulled him for Matt Schaub, who threw the only touchdown of the game for them. Yuck. The only passing touchdown, I should say. They had a rushing touchdown. And then Derek Carr. I thought he could do something. But no, Derek Carr against the Jets. He did throw a touchdown the other way.
Right.
I was going to say, I don't have that on my
sketchy. Yeah, I'm not seeing that on the box the score.
It went the
Where's
other
that? Way. Yeah, sure did. Yeah, I thought he was going to be a solid play this week against the very banged up New York Jets defense, but man, he couldn't get anything going. Nobody on that offense could. But we'll talk about that later.
All right, then running back bosses. Leonard Fournette and Derrick Henry in the same game. Leonard Fournette did it mostly through the air with a lot of catches. He got 6 catches, I believe. He did get the 2 touchdowns. Thank goodness, finally got some touchdowns. Derrick Henry owns Jacksonville at home. Literally owns them. He rushed for like 218 last year. And this game, if it was any closer, he probably would have rushed for close to 200 again. They pulled him for Deion Lewis in the second half, in the fourth quarter. And then I put Nick Chubb in here too, just because he had a good game.
Yeah, Chubb had a real solid day, but he played Miami.
And we don't talk about Christian McCaffrey, but
no, because he's a freak of nature. So,
well, his boy said that's the most athletic white guy I've ever seen play football.
Who said that?
Gerald McCoy, the defensive lineman for the Bucks. He's like,
Oh, that's right. He's a Panther. No, that's right.
He's like, he's the most athletic white dude I've ever seen. Crazy. That's what he said.
I'm really glad we saw.
You know what makes me sad? I have McCaffrey and Fournette and on the same team, and I'm going to lose.
You're going to lose.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you're going to lose against me in Dynasty too, bud.
Yeah, that's because you played with idiots before me, and you have all the good players. So
it doesn't help when you don't set your lineup. You left Evan Ingram in
hold
there,
up.
So it doesn't help. When you
yeah,
do
I
that.
Did leave him in there because I wasn't focused on that league because I'm not.
Hold up, that league. Who's going to be high score that this week in that league?
I thought you were throwing.
I tried to, but my team won't do it.
Yeah, the fact that you turned who was it? James Conner into Alvin Kamara? Yeah, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that you drafted McCaffrey and Zeke, insane.
Thank you.
It shouldn't happen. Ever.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your compliments.
But it did. We can't do anything about it. We can dwell on it and get mad. Let's talk about these bum running backs. First one, I'm going to break these down individually. Chris Carson, are we hitting the panic button? Are we freaking out? He only carries the ball 8 times. Was not in there to seal the game in the fourth quarter. Rashad Penny got the work at the end. This is the big difference here. Is before, when he fumbled, they would still go to him at the end of the game. This game, Rashad Penny was the guy they gave the ball to seal the game away in the fourth quarter.
But even when they brought him back in late, he fumbled it on 2 consecutive plays. The first time he got it back, and then he's like, okay, well, let me just fumble it again.
No, the second one was technically on Russell Wilson. When you look at the stat sheet.
No, it counts on Chris Carson. Yeah,
Russell Wilson. Well, on the stat sheet, I'm saying for fantasy. So,
even without that, it's 7 on the year, which is far too many.
Yeah, so I'm really nervous. If you don't have Rashad Penny and you're a Chris Carson owner, you are wrong. You need to go get him. Because the playoffs start in most leagues in a week. So hopefully you got a week where you can possibly play Carson and see if we see something. Because don't listen to Pete Carroll, because he's going to lie to us.
He sure will. I wouldn't be worried about Chris Carson. I still think he's going to get the majority of the work. He had a bad day.
He's had a few this year.
Everybody's entitled to one.
I'm just saying what they gave up for one guy.
But you got to remember, they drafted Penny to... Yeah, I'm surprised that they've hung out. I'm surprised they hung out with him this long. I mean, I always saw him as this year's Alex Collins. They didn't draft him with a high draft price. They did draft Rashad Penny with one. And the fact that he's got made it this far has really surprised me this year. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Rashad Penny's a starter next week.
I mean, he can be the starter next week, but in dynasty leagues, Penny's going to come in overweight and probably hurt again in camp. So don't worry about it.
All right. The biggest letdown to running back position, though, I think, comes from good old Saquon Barkley. Yeah, they played the Bears, but 17 for 59, and then you only catch two balls for 1 yard. And I'm pretty sure going into the second quarter, he had 2 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's another team that needs to be more creative with their star running back.
It's just terrible. Just terrible.
They might not want to get creative because they're not playing for anything. They don't want him out there and tearing an ACL, trying to juke seven dudes out in the flat either.
Then sit him.
But you can't do that. NBA's got enough bad problems for load management. NFL can't jump on that wagon too.
Sit him down.
And then the other side of the ball.
I wouldn't risk
the
him.
NBA is schedule.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Say he's got like diverticulitis or something. Just sit him down.
All right, then we got the other running back, Josh Jacobs, 10 for 34. Ooh. And you know he don't catch balls, so he caught one. Woo!
Yeah, he kind of got game scripted out. That's not really indicative of what he usually does. So
obviously,
they just got down by a lot.
Obviously, Barkley, we're not worried about him. Eric, you're not worried about Chris Carson. I think me and Josh are kind of both a little worried about Chris Carson. And then Josh Jacobs, are we worried about him? Because he could get game scripted out in a lot of games if this Oakland defense plays like this.
You talking to me?
Yeah, sure, you.
I don't know. I can't think right now. My eye hurts so bad. I'm going to have to.
All right, Eric, are you worried about Josh Jacobs going forward?
Am I worried about Josh Jacobs? No, because I still think as long as it's even semi-close for them, they're still going to – John Gruden likes to do old-school football.
Next week against the Chiefs.
But the Chiefs haven't looked that great.
But they're probably going to hang up 35 on them.
They and probably
the
will.
Titans, who just hung up 42 on Jacksonville. And then Jacksonville.
I mean, yeah, that's disconcerting.
Which might be okay.
If Tannehill actually – It depends on what Tannehill you get.
In week 16.
You got Jekyll and Hyde for Tannehill.
In week 16, the Chargers always keep it close. So, yeah, he'll be fine there in championship.
Sure, because they're usually in the playoff hunt, and they need a miracle. They need, like, eight other teams to, like, tie, win, or lose, and then they have to win, and then maybe they get in. So, yeah, they'll keep it close. It depends on what Tannehill you get, and then who is the other team they have next week? Say it again.
Sorry, it was Chiefs, Titans, Jags. Chargers.
Oh, the Chiefs. And yeah, okay, the Chiefs are the Chiefs, but they haven't looked great. If they can establish the run early, maybe try to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, which is always a smart play, you know, that could work for him. If the defense can stand up for a little bit, if they don't just, you know, zip it down the field every 3 seconds when they do have the ball.
All right, let's get into-
so I know I still
all
like
right,
Jacobs.
Let's get into boss wide receivers. Chris Godwin is back. Yeah. It was all in the first half. He only caught one ball in the second half, but whatever. It was amazing, 37 points. Then you got good old Jarvis Landry, the number one for the Cleveland Browns. We all called that beginning of the season. I mean,
yeah,
Odell
right?
gets touchdown as well, I mean, so whatever. But he had the 10 targets.
Or yeah, Josh did say
he had 13
it.
Targets, 10 receptions, 148 yards. And then DJ Moore. I am sorry, DJ Moore. I called you a wide receiver too. I apologize for everything I ever said.
Yeah, no, he looked fantastic all day. And usually he has a good day, but when he usually goes off, he doesn't get in the end zone. It's usually Curtis Samuel that gets the touchdown receptions when that happens. But this week, man, he got it all. He had plenty of receptions, a ton of yardage, and found the end zone. So
yep. And then the bums for wide receivers. We got Jameson Crowder, which you're going to get these games from Jameson Crowder where he doesn't do anything. You just wish when the Jets score 34 points, you'd see Jameson Crowder more involved because he's the one guy you really other than Le'Veon Bell, will kind of start there consistently. Then Tyler Lockett,
yeah.
He didn't look fast, man. A linebacker was running down the field with him. So I do not think that Shin is right. I am really worried about Josh keeping his hair because it's probably going to happen now, which really lets me down.
Could, yeah. It's real sad.
And then,
yeah, he didn't look good.
Amari Cooper, who scored the same amount of fantasy points as I did this week.
And he was bad last week, too.
But it was like Josh, bad weather, Stephon Gilmore.
But this is very routine for Cooper anyway. He has, you know, some big games, and then
this is his first game with Dallas that he has not got a catch.
No. I'm not saying he puts up a goose egg. I'm saying we talked about the beginning or in the preseason. He has three or four huge games that kind of prop him up throughout the season, and then the rest of the games he's okay. But you're not getting massive production, so you gotta play roulette and land the right ones and pick which week he's gonna go off. So, and yeah, as far as Crowder goes, of course I run my mouth and say he's the only guy worth playing. And Robbie Anderson, I'm like, oh, don't worry about Robbie Anderson. And boom, he goes off for what, 6 for 84 and a touchdown or something like that. So
speaking
a good week
of
for
us
him.
Being wrong, don't worry. On tight ends, we got Zach Ertz, who I said was an okay play. But then we got Jared Cook, who I was taking everybody and their mom over, and he puts up 20-something points. Yeah, Jared Cook's really good. He was catching. He looked like Jared.
Love me some Jared Cook.
Last year. And then.
Yeah, him and ever since Breeze came back, he's been getting a lot more
looks.
And
the bum I had was Hollister, just because the hype was there for him. He had been very consistent, and it just didn't show up. So it was a bad game all around for Seattle players, so, other than Rashad Penny. All right. So, Eric, me and you have to do these games by ourselves because Josh has a boo-boo. Hold on. Josh is...
Got nothing on me. Oh, my thingy.
I got the rundown in front of me.
Oh, the bravery.
He got the poofecta.
You're an American hero.
I was playing the drop air. Couldn't hear it. That's my bad. All right. So we'll start with Thursday night football. This takes me longer to get to because I don't have a hold up like a dumb. All right. Thursday night football.
I got it.
Colts Texans. Jacoby Brissett. He ran a touchdown, man. If not for that, he really let you down. And then the biggest thing is Jonathan Williams. He is a thing there. As long as Marlon Mack is out, Jonathan Williams will be the running back. I dare to say he's in every week RB2 because this is a run-first offense that has, even though T.Y. is back, he really didn't do anything.
I'm in full agreement with you. He looked hungry. Like, he was running for his life. He wanted it. And he showed it, and he performed. So hopefully they keep giving him the ball.
All right.
So, yeah, if he's still on waivers in your league, which he shouldn't be, but if he is, go out and get him as quick as you can.
Yeah, and then on the wide side, the pass catcher side, T.Y. Hilton had 6 targets, only caught 3 of them. Eric Ebron had 5 targets, caught 4 of them for 44 yards, but none of them got a touchdown. Then Texans side of the ball, Deshaun Watson throws the ball 30 times. Will Fuller gets 11 of those targets, catches 7 of them. For 140 yards, which I know Eric is very happy about because he played a guy who's like, he's starting Will Fuller. I'm good. Nope. You wrong.
Yeah. Thanks for the 21 points. Appreciate you,
and
bud.
And then DeAndre Hopkins caught 2 touchdown passes, went and found his mom, his blind mom in the stands and handed both her touchdown balls to her because that's what he does every time he catches a touchdown. Give the guy some more touchdowns.
Good for him.
But he had 6 for 94.
Right?
Other than that, the running backs were bad in Houston. I don't want to start a running back from Houston going forward. Bye weeks are over, so you shouldn't have
no.
to.
No. Yeah, I mean, Hyde's steady, but again, he's got such a low floor. It's tough to want to.
Yeah.
Tough to want to.
And then on the other...
And Duke Johnson just doesn't get enough work in the passing game.
No, he doesn't, because those wide receivers are where they want to go. That's really about it for Thursday night. Deshaun Watson's really good at football.
He is. I hope they get him an offensive line someday because he'd be so much better. Like, he would be a super duper star if he had an offensive line.
Pay him soon, so there goes his offensive line money.
Yeah, probably. Hey, maybe he'll take the discount like Brady. We'll see. All right, I got the Detroit and Washington game up, so well, I'll start with that one if you want.
I'll go down the rundown here. Yep.
You got your
game? I'll let you have that one, though. Right, you have Josh's first one. All right, yep. So I got Seattle at Philadelphia. We already talked about Russell Wilson. We already talked about Carson Wentz. They led. But Rashad Penny had 14 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown. And he was the guy on the field at the end of the game. Hey, guess what? Who catches your touchdown for wide receivers? Nobody you had, so don't worry about it. If you started Malik Turner,
if you started Malik Turner,
good on you. The Eagles pass catchers on the other side, guess what? That none of them were healthy. Nelson Aguilar didn't have to worry about dropping a ball because he wasn't on the field. And don't worry, if you want to know what's going on with the running back situation, don't worry, Miles Sanders just kicked the ball when he was trying to run a goal line catch in. I think Eric froze up. He might come back later. Whatever. Technical difficulties. And then Jay Ajayi gets 6 carries. Yep. Why not? Who knows? But guess what? Jordan Matthews is still in the NFL. He got 6 targets.
Okay. Cool.
Well, that's it for Seattle at Philadelphia. We got Eric back on the horn now, thanks to my technical difficulties, like always. Eric, you said you got the next game? Fire it up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take Detroit at Washington. What a fun game to watch. Not at all.
I think that's why Josh dropped out of this, because he didn't even want to talk about this game.
I don't blame him. He had the poopfecta. It was bad. It was bad. All right, we'll start with the Detroit side of the ball. Jeff Driscoll, 207, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. Did get you a couple extra points running the ball, though. 9 carries for 63 yards, so he could scamper around the field for you if you really need it. Bo Scarborough, 18 for 98. Unfortunately, didn't see the end zone and no work in the passing game. Was only targeted once. No big winners from the Detroit receiving core, which is usually not the case. Either Kenny Galladay or Marvin Jones usually comes through for you. But neither of them found the end zone today. A gentleman by the name of something Thomas.
Logan.
Because I did. Logan Thomas. Oh, that's my son's name. That's cool. All right. So, yeah, Logan Thomas caught the lone touchdown for the day. Kenny G, 4 for 61. Marvin Jones, 5 for 46. So, what? Maybe a halfway decent flex play for you this week? So, yeah.
Hey, don't worry. I'll take care of the Washington side of the ball for you.
Go for it, bud.
Terry McLaurin had 12 targets. Should have had 2 touchdowns, but Dwayne Haskins isn't an accurate pass catcher, or pass thrower, I should say. So
he also doesn't care about kneeling on the final play of the game.
Oh, that was, you just stole it from me. I was going to say Case Keenum got in the books because he had to go out there and take a knee at the end of the game because good old Dwayne Haskins was so excited. He took a bunch of pictures of the fans, which I can respect that. You know, you're getting your first win as a player, second win as a team on a year. Fans are right there. You're over there taking snapshot photos with them, selfies with them. It's a good thing. Maybe remember you're supposed to go take a knee, but whatever. Case Keenum's a veteran. He should go do that for you.
Yep. You're a terrible quarterback. Worry about your selfies instead of the playbook or anything else you should be learning while you're doing that. Sure.
And the running back wise, both of them got 10 carries. Both of them floated around 30 yards. I will say that Adrian Peterson took his 1 catch for 22, while Darius Geis only took his for 6. Other than that, it's a 50-50 split.
Yeah. And we talked about dropping Terry McLaurin, but, you know, he looked good this week, but I think that's pretty much just matchup dependent. So.
And buys are over, so you probably are trying to find better options.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, you got your other game, Oakland at the Jets.
My first game, and I guess I was the only one with any, even a little bit of faith in our boy Savior Sam over here. He had a pretty good day. 315 for 2 touchdowns. I said he would be a good play in two QB leagues, excuse me. Le'Veon Bell, just not a good day for him. I mean, his passing day work saved you, but and it did not find the end zone either on the ground or in the air, unfortunately. Robbie, and I said Jameson Crowder was going to be the receiver to play. And of course he takes a big dump and gets 2 catches for 18 yards. He was targeted 4 times.
He did get a touchdown. He got 1 touch. Didn't Robbie Anderson get a touchdown?
Jameson Crowder?
Oh, sorry. Crowder. I thought you said Anderson. Sorry.
No, sorry. Nope. And then, the guy I told you not to play, Robbie Anderson, 4 for 86 and a score. So targeted 5 times. Not a lot of throwing in this game. They were so far ahead, basically game scripted out. Yeah, and that's really it from the New York side of the ball. The defense played way better than I thought they were. Their backups and banged up guys really played through the pain. They did a fantastic job against Oakland. And we talked about Derek Carr earlier, only 127 with a pick. Really bad day for him. Josh Jacobs, also a bum this week, 10 for 34, and no work in the passing game except for that one catch. Jalen Richard, 6 for 47, but no end zone. Darren Waller, 3 for 41. He's a tight end with a pulse. Hunter Renfro, 3 for 31. Not even a flex play. So my bad on that one. And, man, I wish any of these guys would have done something. Tyrell Williams didn't do anything. Zay Jones, I really liked him before the season, and they're not working him in very well either. So, yeah, just a tough day for the Oakland offense. And like you said, Brad, they are who we thought they were. They're coached by John Gruden.
Yep. All right. Then we move on to Carolina at New Orleans. Really good game, back and forth game. Missed field goals by Carolina cost them the game. 2 missed extra points and a missed field goal at the end of the game. They could have won by 5 and said they lose by 3.
Mm-hmm. He looked awful all day.
Kyle Allen looked good. 3 touchdowns, 256 yards. Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to save our time. Curtis Samuel got 4 rush attempts, though. So, whatever.
Yeah, that was weird. I guess you got to mix it up. You can't let him just key on McCaffrey every play.
Yeah. DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, both of them got 9 targets. DJ Moore caught 6 of his for 126 yards, 2 touchdowns. Greg Olsen also got in there with 9 PPR points for a tight end, which that's almost a startable tight end. If you can get about 10 points at PPR tight end, you're doing all right.
Yep.
And then the Saints side of the ball, Latavius Murray gets a touchdown because why not? You know, why not?
Yep.
Drew Brees throws for 300 yards, does throw a pick, but throws 3 touchdowns. He throws them to Jared Cook, Michael Thomas, and Tre'Quan Smith. So if you started Tre'Quan Smith, good for you. Ted Ginn also had a touchdown that he just missed him on. He should have let him more, and he threw behind. And the announcers tried to make excuses for him, which I thought was funny. Thank you, Romo, for helping out your fellow quarterback brethren. Alvin Kamara, though, still in PPR, Alvin Kamara is still a great start. If you are in standard, though, you are stressing the Kamara because he is getting, honestly, Latavius Murray is a better running back than him on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got that. He just runs downhill. He's going to get you positive yardage, and that's what he does.
And then I will take Josh's. Do you want Josh's other game? It's his highest scoring game, I think.
I have Josh's game up. Dolphins-Browns, right?
Yeah, you can have that one. Yeah. I'll take his next one.
I got it up. Okay. All right, so we'll start with Miami because it's real short. Fitzmagic, 214, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He did get a rushing touchdown. He had 5 carries for 45 yards, which is insane to me. He carried the ball almost as much as Kalen Ballage, who I said I would rather have, and I'm an idiot. Never forget this, folks. I am an idiot.
Patrick Liard is the number one back in Miami now.
He is. He had 3 carries for 20 yards. Kalen Ballage continues his abysmal yards per rush average with 7 carries for 13 yards. He did catch the ball once for 13 yards as well, but they were those running backs are just bad all around. Granted, they were down by quite a bit, so they got scripted out. And then Devontae Parker, really the only receiver you could hang your hat on, 6 for 91. That was it.
Alan Hearns got that garbage time touchdown. Garbage.
He did, yeah. But, man, 4 for 42. And so, I mean, he had what? Let's see, 8, 6, 14. He had 14 points total for you just because that touchdown saved his day. But he only got 7 targets, so nothing to rely on there. All right, and on the Cleveland side of the ball, Baker finally has a good day. 327 yards passing, actually threw, had 60% completion percentage, which is amazing for him this year. 3 touchdowns. He still threw a pick. I think he's still got the streak going. Him and Danny Jones, man, they love to turn the ball over.
This was actually Baker's first interception since like week 5.
Really?
Yeah. That shows you how bad he's been.
Oof. Okay. All right. And Nick Chubb, we talked about him in bosses, 21 for 106 and a score. Did not he saw a little bit of work in the passing game, had a lot of yardage. He broke one for 32 yards, but three catches, 58 yards. So that really bumped up his numbers today. But Kareem Hunt still taking snaps from him. So it hurts him a little bit, but he still had a good day. And then Jarvis Landry, the PPR machine, 10 for 148, two touchdowns, led the team in targets with 13. So keep playing Jarvis Landry. He's the guy right now. Odell had a good day for, not a good day for him, but a good day for most receivers, 6 for 84 and a score. So good production out of Odell, finally. I'm sure much better than what you're accustomed to this year if you have him, especially for the draft price you paid.
All right, yeah, that's a good breakdown of those games. Really nothing there to talk about. The good thing about Miami, if you want to start Ryan Fitzpatrick, at least you know that they're going to let him have the garbage time points.
For sure.
You know, Matt Ryan's getting pulled in fourth quarters when they're getting blown out. You know.
Yeah.
Fitz is
there was a few QBs that got yanked today, so.
Yep. Speaking of getting yanked, you got you got Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
I do. So we'll start with the Pittsburgh side of the ball. What another dumpster fire of a game here. Mason Rudolph, 8 of 16, 85 yards, and a pick. He got
here,
yanked.
We'll make this game better. Instead of just reading off stats, because honestly, there's really not much here. Benny Snell had 98 yards. Joe Mixon.
Yeah, you were
okay.
Right. You Kentucky homer. You were right about Benny Snell getting the work. So good job.
But no, here's my question for you, though. With Delvin Hodges taking over for Mason Rudolph, he comes in there. His first pass, he throws a long touchdown pass to James Washington.
79 yards to be exact.
Yeah. So do you think this obviously, do you think this helps the offense out compared to Mason Rudolph?
No, I don't. It's still another journeyman backup, whatever
he's
you want to call
rookie.
Him.
He's a rookie, undrafted
whatever.
Rookie.
He's a backup. He's not a starter, right? He couldn't even take the job from Mason Rudolph until he played so horribly that Mike Tomlin said, "Nah, I'm good with you. We're going to get it." I believe he said in the press conference they needed a spark. So yeah, is he that spark? Great. He's going to get first team reps all week, and maybe he'll come out and do something. I highly doubt it, though. He's a rookie, so.
Yeah, and then the Cincinnati side of the ball, we both lost our bet. Ryan Finley throws no interceptions. They do turn the ball over a lot in Cincinnati, but Tyler Boyd had himself a good game.
Yeah, again, I said, don't worry about Tyler Boyd, and again, I'm an idiot, folks. Don't forget this. Don't listen to me. 5 for 101 and a score, so good day for him. Mixon had a terrible day. Nothing really to write home about. So
yeah.
And Kreifert didn't do anything either. So,
all right, let's go over to the Giants at the Bears. Another blood game. The thing about this, though, is that Daniel Jones throws for two touchdowns, which really surprised me against the Chicago offense. He did fumble the ball because he does turn the ball over. He made sure to kept it going. Yep. We already talked about Saquon Barkley. Darius Slayton, surprisingly, gets 67 yards. And then Golden Tate did get that touchdown. Did get to that, like, 15-point PPR thing we said, 10 to 15. He got there.
He's safe. Great. He's got a high floor. Yeah.
All right. Mitchell Trubisky, though, bad hip and all, throws the ball 41 times.
That is not a recipe for success for the Chicago Bears.
For 278 yards, he did throw a touchdown, threw an interception, but he also ran for a touchdown, which made his fantasy day somewhat good. Of course, we sell him off the river, and he stays somewhat okay. Biggest thing here is that David Montgomery cannot do anything. The Giants do not have a great run defense, and he still only got 22 yards on 13 carries. That's very Kalen Ballagi.
Yeah.
And then you got Tariq Cohen, who's catching passes, who's keeping his PPR value alive. Allen Robinson, sure, though, balled out of control.
Yeah, he did.
And Anthony Miller, kind of a little Anthony Miller sliding here. I liked him last year as a rookie. He's a guy I could see as a third-year breakout next year once his offense gets right.
I like it. They need a second guy there real bad. So, yeah. Why not?
But really, this game was just bad. The only guy you really want to start from this game did nothing for you, which really let you down.
Yeah. I mean, we're starting to get into that crappy weather, cold outdoor games where you see everything slow down and everybody's hands are cold and they can't grip the ball as well. So, yeah, the quality of football is going to get worse here.
Pete, speaking of games slowing down, the game does not slow down for Frank Gore, who passes good old Barry Sanders on the all-time rushing list for third all-time. He ain't getting nowhere near Emmitt Smith, and he's not.
I don't think he'll get anywhere near Walter Payton either. So. Yeah,
but he did break. He did get the third. So congratulations, Frank Gore, the timeless one. Mm-hmm. But also in his game where he does it, Devin Singletary has his first 100-yard rushing game.
Mm, good for him.
He did. Cole Beasley caught a touchdown, had a great game. John Brown caught a touchdown, had an okay game. Josh Allen, the dude's just good, man. It wasn't a great game, but it was a good game. You know what I'm saying? It was a good game.
He's solid. He's solid.
You want more of those rushing touchdowns, but he didn't get it. Now that on the Broncos side of the ball. All right, moving on to the next game.
Exactly.
The Broncos offense is just a dumpster fire. Phillip Rivers might be the starting quarterback for them next year. We'll see.
Yeah, they really need to either decide if they want to like tear it all down. I mean, they traded Emmanuel Sanders, maybe move on from, well, Courtland Sutton's a nice piece to have, but you know, probably older veterans that maybe you can get decent draft picks for, they need to start thinking about.
Speaking of tearing it all down, it wasn't that long ago the Atlanta Falcons were in the playoffs and potential Super Bowl winners. Now they are a dumpster fire. You have Tampa Bay at Atlanta, Eric.
I do. And let me just say one thing. I am never going to underestimate the losing to the Patriots Super Bowl hangover ever again.
It's just losing the Super Bowl hangover.
But it seems like the losing to the Patriots affects you more. I don't know why.
That's only because the Patriots are there every year.
They are there every year. That's true. But yeah, Atlanta has not looked the same since that game. And the Rams have just looked awful, who I was super high on and stacked up on a lot of my teams. And it's biting me in the butt come playoff push time. Anyway. All right. So Matty Ryan had a terrible day. Nobody can run the ball for Atlanta. They even gave it to Calvin Ridley once just to see what would happen. And he got 15 yards, and that was almost the most.
And I will say Brian Hill did get hurt in this game for a little bit. That's why Quandre Olsen got the touchdown. And they literally gave him the ball three times on the goal line.
Yeah.
Three straight plays. No fades to Julio. Nothing like that. Three straight runs on the goal line with a rookie running back.
Poor Julio. We talked about it last week. I think I said he goes another week without a touchdown. So, Calvin Ridley was the guy, 6 for 85 and a score. So he led the team in targets as well, with 14. So if you're still riding the Calvin Ridley hype train, you had a good day. And that's really all from the Atlanta side of the ball. This was a tough one to watch.
The one thing I want to say going forward with the Atlanta side is that Julio Jones did leave the game. Was banged up. So this is about the time of the year where they're not looking good. Julio's got these nagging injuries. You might not have some great Julio games because if they're getting blown out and the game's over, that ankle's going to be a lot more sore than if they were up 40 points.
Yeah, look for somebody that's hungry, that's in the playoff hunt in real life, and see what happens with that, because he's 100% right. They will shut Julio down for whatever, for ankle, for knee, hamstring.
Which, and they've done it time and time because of the way he plays. He has all that because of the way he plays. But
sure, he is. I'm sure he's dinged up, but they will absolutely 100% shut him down for it, and they've done it before. So that's a great point, Brad.
All right. Speaking of hungry, talk to me about these wide receivers for Tampa Bay and how Mike Evans is the second player in NFL history, Randy Moss is the only other one, to start their career with six straight seasons of 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah, he's a freak of nature, a lot like Randy Moss was back in the day. Not a great day for him receiving today. Chris Godwin got all the love. He got as many targets as Evans, but he caught 7 out of 8, 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Godwin's still killing it. I know he's had a few down weeks lately, but man, he came back strong today. OJ Howard is not a tight end with a pulse, so don't play him anymore. If you were trying to be cute, I thought the Atlanta defense was going to be a little bit better today. I was horribly, horribly wrong. Oh, let's see. Jameis, 3 touchdowns, still threw 2 picks though. He did turn it over like we talked about, but it did not translate to big points for the Atlanta defense. And then for the rushing side of the ball, Rojo was your guy with the touchdown. So he's still getting most of the work in terms of running and running back seeing passes. So stick with Rojo if you got to play him. Peyton Barber is not going to steal anything from him.
Great analysis. And then I got Jacksonville at Tennessee. I haven't even pulled it up yet, but Jacksonville at Tennessee, 42-20, and that score wasn't even that close, really. Jacksonville just kept playing. Thank goodness they kept playing. Nick Foles didn't turn the ball over, but he didn't really do anything with the ball either. He threw it for 272 yards. Leonard Fournette got 24 carries for 97 yards, two touchdowns. Also led the team in targets and really should have been targeted about 17 more times because he was really the only guy getting open. Got nine of them for 62 yards. So he had a great fantasy. He is your RB1 as of right now.
Yep.
D.D. Westbrook, though. You guys shouldn't let me talk you out of D.D. so fast. 8 for 69. PPR-wise,
I mean, it wasn't
good.
That much better than PPR-wise, Conley. Or...
But no, PPR-wise, that's been the... That was the Julian Edelman numbers for the last, like, three seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Chris Conley got nine targets as well. Yeah. Chris Conley got that nine targets. DJ Chark did get six targets, caught five of them, but only for 38 yards. They could not get anything going downfield, and this offense just looks bad.
Well, if you watch, Chark is starting to see the double coverage, the best corner. He's got to figure out a way to get past that. If he can't, then yeah, he's going to see numbers like this a lot more. But yeah, he's their number one guy.
He's getting treated like a number one wide receiver. And I think Michael Irvin said it back in the day. It's one thing to put up wide receiver numbers. It's another thing to be a number one wide receiver. Because he would talk about all those secondary wide receivers that would play with the Cowboys with Irvin. And they'd all go get paid. And they would do nothing after they left. He's like, I've made so many people so much money.
And he did.
But then on the Titans side of the ball, Derrick Henry only rushed it 19 times, but it was for 159 yards and two touchdowns. Literally two touchdowns within 5 minutes of the start of the second half.
Yeah.
And then Tannehill just said, you know what? I see your two touchdowns, and I got two more on the ground as well and through the air. Because whatever.
Yeah, if you played Tannehill this week, congratulations. I would not expect this down the road in the future because I don't think it'll happen on a regular basis.
So. And remember how I said you can start a Tennessee wide receiver if you want? Well, if you picked A.J. Brown, you're a genius. Go buy a lotto ticket. Pick whatever numbers pop in your head because I probably should have had him on the boss segment, but I left him out for some weird reason. But he had four catches for 135 yards and that nice, sweet touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who the other touchdown that Tannehill threw went to?
Somebody named Kelly, only because I have it in front of me.
Dennis Kelly. Guess his position.
Offensive lineman.
It is. He's a tackle.
Yep.
They did a beer chugging celebration. I love offensive lineman touchdown celebrations because they don't get them. So they say, "Fine me, I don't care."
Mm-hmm.
My quarterback's going to pay the fine.
He should. He absolutely should. Especially Ryan Tannehill.
So Ryan Tannehill, a great game. Like an amazing game. And next week he has the Colts and then the Raiders. And then the Texans, who I'm not really scared of either.
No.
Next 3 weeks for Tannehill, he's a decent streaming option.
He is. I agree. But and with no buys, is he very viable other than in like deeper 2QB leagues?
Well, if you don't have one of the top, we'll say four guys. Like, if you don't have Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson.
Dak Prescott.
Dak or Russell Wilson, right? Those are must-start guys.
Yeah.
And Dak, I could even say, after this week, if it's raining, you ain't starting him.
Well, Dallas's roof closes, so it's fine.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. He's a guy, if you're streaming quarterbacks, which a lot of people are, because there's people in your league that carry two quarterbacks, so you have to stream, and you have to dig a little deeper. Tannehill's a guy maybe to look for.
Yeah, sure. Especially if you're in a 16-team 2QB league.
Ugh. he's been owned for like 6 years in that league. All right.
Sure, sure.
All right, Eric. Go ahead. Break down the New England Massacre. We'll just call it that. And I say massacre not because they got blown out, because the game was just so bad to watch.
It was. It was hard to watch. And I normally watch Red Zone all day because I want to know who's scoring and who's not. But this was on most of the time, even on Red Zone today. And
that's
it was
because Tennessee was blowing out Jacksonville. They only
right,
two games on.
Exactly.
I do want to bring up, though, the reason it was so bad to watch is that, what was it, halfway through the second quarter is when both teams finally got the third down conversions?
Right. Yeah. No, well, I mean, yeah. Brady and Dak were having trouble holding on to the ball, as by their numbers, well below 50% completion percentage. They just, I mean, nobody could catch it. They could hardly throw it. It was just an ugly day. It's one of those days where you need to just hand the ball off as much as possible, which in this situation, I feel like Dallas should have won, and we didn't. Because Elliott had a very pedestrian day. Tony Pollard chipped in for a little bit. Sony Michel had a very pedestrian day, but he hasn't been good this year at all. Really, the only guy that had a decent fantasy day from either of these teams was Julian Edelman, and he only had 17. He had 17 points. So Amari was nowhere to be found. Stephen Gilmore shadowed. He blanketed him all day, like one of those heavyweight ones that you that help you fall asleep. And yeah, N'Keal Harry caught a touchdown, but he only had one reception for 10 yards. So this was a crapshoot. I unfortunately need to start checking the weather better before I set my lineup because I played James White and I wish I hadn't. I could have played Tariq Cohen and would have had a much better day in terms of my flex role.
But even if you saw the weather, you probably would have thought, okay, a lot of checkdowns coming, a lot of checkdowns coming. James White,
yeah,
he'll probably get, you know, five catches, which, okay, PPR-wise will keep him viable.
Yeah, he usually gets used quite a bit in the passing game. But, man, this was a kitchen sink game for New England. They pulled everybody out. Burkhead got some carries, some receptions. Bolden did. I mean, they were everybody. Matt Lacoste caught a pass. Like, who's Matt Lacoste? So, yeah, this was, I mean,
he's
it was literally
a really good lacrosse player somewhere, because that's what
could be. And then Myers was the surprise of the day. They just pulled him up from the practice squad, I believe, 4 for 74. He had 9 targets behind Edelman's 12. So
The biggest thing with Jacoby Myers and K'Neil Harry is N'Keal. Muhammad Sanu's out, and Muhammad Sanu's going to be out probably for a while.
Yeah.
Philip Dorsett did not clear concussion protocol, so his outlook for the rest of the season is not that great. So these other wide receivers could be options. But it's going to get cold up in Foxborough.
It does, and it is. The only nice thing about their receivers being hurt is Julian Edelman is seeing a lot of man coverage, and he's very good at beating man coverage. And Belichick is very good at scheming him open in man coverage. So if they're starting to see that more, expect Edelman to keep putting up probably around 17 points. He's going to get you 8 to 10 catches, probably roughly 80 to 100 yards every week, and hopefully he gets you a touchdown. And then just one last thing, Randall Cobb and Michael Gallup are still decent flex options, in my opinion. They didn't see the end zone this week, but they can definitely do that because Cooper's falling off.
The one thing, I don't think Cooper's falling off. I think it was just a bad matchup. You're still starting Cooper every week. I don't care.
Yeah, you are.
Sony Michel, you talked about Sony Michel. This is the time of year last year where they started leaning on Sony Michel in New England, and I could see that again. So if you have him, he's going to be RB2 flexes, RB3, RB2, right there where you can start him in the flex. If he gets touchdowns, if he gets one touchdown this game, we're talking about him a whole different way because he had 80 yards on the ground.
He did. And I would say RB2 matchup dependent, especially in standard, you're probably going to start him every week, but in PPR, definitely matchup dependent. If you think they're going to be, if it's Miami and they're going to be pounding the ball the whole time, which I think they have to play Miami one more time, something like that. So
they only have, I think, one more really tough game on the schedule. They play Kansas City like in 2 weeks. So,
well, they basically get 8 freebies a year,
but even then,
depending on Buffalo,
the way New England's playing, New England's going to be defense and control the clock.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
Julian Edelman, Sony Michel, James White, once the weather's better.
Yeah. Yeah, this is nothing new for them. This is old hat for them. So they're 10-1. Did they already clinch a playoff spot?
No. Well, they might have clinched a playoff spot, but the Bills are only like a game behind them.
Oh, that's right.
The Bills
are doing quite well.
The Bills are 8-3.
Yeah, right, good for them.
Question here is, does Zeke Elliott think he's playing flag football the way he wears his towel hanging halfway out I get it was cold, but he's got a towel hanging out pretty far down, almost to his kneecaps.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just want them to fire Garrett and get somebody in there that can actually call a real play or draw up a real play.
Won't happen because old man Jerry's got control.
They said the other day he's been their coach for 10 years, and I was like, where did it go? Are you kidding? Like, he's been the coach for 10 years? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
but it's true.
Only Tom Landry's been a Cowboys coach, I think, longer than him.
That's sad. That's so. We could have won so many more titles with Jimmy. Sad.
Because they're always just good enough. Jeff Fisher had a job for so long because they were just good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, they are a lot like the Steelers where they don't go through head coaches very often. So, if they can help it.
What? What? No. No. Jimmy Johnson, 3 years. Who was after him?
Barry Switzer.
Was there 1 year, right? Or 2 years?
No. He was there for a while. No. I don't remember how many. No, he won
he
a title.
Fired. Then they brought somebody else in. Then
Bill Parcells for a few years.
Well, Bill Parcells was after Wade Phillips. Or Wade Phillips was after Parcells. I can't remember. They somewhere.
Historically, they don't change coaches very often. They did have the turmoil there.
Before Jerry, they didn't do it. Jerry's first thing he did was fire the coach.
Tom Landry.
Yeah, that's the first thing Jerry did. Jerry has not made it stable.
All right, fine. All right. You're right.
But that is it for the show. You're going to have to help me with these Twitter handles because I don't remember them. Josh is taking care of his boo-boo.
But I got you.
Thank you all for listening to the Empty Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast. It was Brad, Eric, and you got a little sprinkling of Josh in there. So you can check us out anywhere you listen to podcasts, but you listen to it now. So tell your friends, tell your family. Check us out on Twitter, though. Send us messages. It's at Empty Wagon FF, at Tack Jones, at FF Josh Hughes, at GunsofL19.
There you go.
Yeah, hit us all up. I don't care.
He does it all, ladies and gentlemen.
Call us stupid for not knowing what we're doing.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. Never forget that.